Jesus loves me, this I know. It comes from a very familiar passage of song that we sung back as a young boy. But the message today is centered around this. A man by the name of Dr. R.A. Torrey, a man that is a very educated man, a very brilliant man, has written many, many books that have been a help to many preachers in helping them to preach the Word of God. And Dr. Torrey one day was asked by a certain man, he said, "Would you please name the most profound concept in the Word of God in the Bible?" And without hesitation, here's what Torrey said. He said, "The most profound truth that I've ever encountered in the Word of God is this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and privilege we have to come together this morning. I pray now that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray that you give us listening ears, receptive hearts, and I pray today that we'd all leave here today better than when we came. And Lord, I pray if there again be one here lost, that you touch their heart, help them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. As I think about Torrey saying that, I don't believe that's something that I would have expected him to say. I would have thought perhaps he would have said the most profound thing that he could think of in the Bible would be the incarnation. Maybe he would have said it had been the great doctrines of election and predestination or some other biblical concept that we would think would be more important. But he gave us the most simple one today, and I believe it's important that we understand that, because I too am amazed that Jesus could love me, an old sinner, and he could go to a cross, die on that cross, in order that he might give me eternal life. But I know that he did. And here's what he said in the Bible, beginning in verse number 35 of Romans chapter 8. He said, "Whoso shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm glad today that Jesus loves me, this I know. I'm even more glad today to know that Jesus loves me, and there's nothing can separate me and him from the love that he has for us. It's amazing to me today to understand how he could love us. The Bible tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said there's none righteous, no, not one. He said all our righteousness are as filthy rags and do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. But in spite of it all, he still loves us. We fail him on a daily basis. I'd venture to say, I wish that I could be everything God wanted me to be every second of every day. But I must confess to you today, I'm not always what I need to be. I'm not always where I need to be. And I know that I fail my Savior day by day. But when I lay my head down at night, I have the calm assurance that knows that he still loves me in spite of it all. He loves me because of who I am. Oftentimes we stray. Many today, thank God if you don't have that testimony, but many of you today have that testimony. I wandered far away from God, but thank the Lord, as the songwriter said, now I'm coming home. But even when we stray, God still loves us. We could preach this morning on the prodigal son. We all fail many ways in neglecting his word. We fail to pray. We fail coming to his house. We fail to worship him. And we fail in so many things that he's commanded us to do. And all we do is fail, but he loves us with all of his heart, with all that he has in his being, when we fail to love him as we should. And I want you to know today, men may forsake you, husbands may leave you, wives may leave you, children may leave you, people in your life that mean a lot to you, parents may leave you. But friend, Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, can never be taken away from you, because he loves you with an everlasting love. Not only does he love us because he saved us, but he loved us, the Bible said, when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. I know today, I thank the Lord that I was born back in 1950. But I was born again in 1960. And I tell you, when God saved me, according to the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, He said, "And ye hath He quickened who was dead in your trespasses and sin." So basically today, you're looking at a dead man that's been resurrected. No, I didn't stop breathing. No, they didn't have a funeral service for me. But thank God, when I got saved, I died to self. I say that's something we all struggle with every day, but I died to the flesh in order to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. And while we were sinners, it's amazing to get people to love you when you're lovable. But it's hard to love people that are not lovable, do you know? Sometimes the old drunk down on the corner, he may not be too appealing to love, but I submit to you today, God loved him, and how much more should we love him in everything that we do? For you see, the Bible said in Romans 5 in verse number 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus loves us not just because we are His, but He loved us before we were His. The Bible said in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Everlasting love. Because the Lord loved us, He loved us before time began. He loved us when we entered into the world. He loved us when He drew us to Himself and saved us by His grace. And today God has loved us because He loved His Son Jesus, and He sent Him in order that He might die for our sin. It boggles my mind to understand how someone would give their son to die for me, an old worthless sinner. But thank God, in His love, He loved us, and there's nothing that can separate us from that love. Listen to John 6:37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me," He said, "I will in no wise cast out." Do you know today there's not a single person that God will not receive and accept? Do you know today there's nobody in this world, if they want to be saved and go to heaven, there's nothing keeping them from going to heaven except putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died, the Bible said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me share a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. "But God..." I like it when it says, "but God." I tell you, there's some bad things happen in our life, and there's some places we get in our life, but it's good when you come to the Scripture and it said, "but God," because you know when God steps into the equation, everything's going to be all right. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show thy exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Because God loved us forever, He extended His grace and mercy, and He brought us to Jesus for salvation. In this passage today, we get a lot to understand, and that's what I want to preach on today. For me to even think of this, the amazing truth that God loved me. There's nothing we can do to change His mind. I tell you today, there's somebody, they may tell you that they've forgiven you, but a few days later, they may prove to you that they haven't forgiven you. And doing so, it would be understandable because that's what happens with humans. But friend, when God said He forgave us, He forgave us of all our sin. And you can rest assured today, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And know this morning if you've been saved, and know this morning if you aren't saved, that He's willing to save you. And once He saves you, He will give you eternal life. I'm glad that in 1950, when I trusted Christ, I haven't had to spend any sleepless nights wondering about whether I was going to heaven. I knew I was because of this passage of Scripture that assures me that once I put my faith and trust in Him, that He's going to love me with an everlasting love and love me to the end. Three things I want to share with you quickly this morning. God's love is an enduring love. Look again, if you would, at verse 35 and 36. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" He begins to ask the question rhetorically, "Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Regardless of what comes our way, though mercy may twist and turns of life that we may go through, we never anything that can come in between the enduring love of God. His love for His people will endure no matter what attacks arise against them. God's love will be there and be demonstrated to them in a special way. There's going to be times, and some of you have got to that point, and you wonder, does God really love me? Friend, what you need to do is open the Word of God. You can rest assured that there's this verse and there's many, many other verses that assures you that God never stops loving you. He loved you before you were saved. He loves you after you're saved, and He'll love you till He takes you home to be with Him. And you can rest assured no matter what comes your way. I remember people saying, they say, why has God forsaken me? Friend, there was only one person God forsook, and that was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He hung on the cross. He began to cry out and He says, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But the God, the Father, had to turn His back on His Son in order that His Son might take our sin upon Himself. Although He was sinless and without sin, in order that we might have salvation. That's what you call love. There'll be times when you feel the fear that God has forsaken you, that He's turned against you, that He's not there. I've had people often tell me, they said, sometimes I don't feel His presence. I don't sense His voice. I don't know exactly what God wants me to do. Can I submit to you today, He's where He's always been. But most of the time, it's not the fact that He's moved from us. It's the fact that we've moved away from Him. And as a result of that, He seems to be lost and forsaken us in some way or the other. God loves you, and He's promised that He will get you through this world on into eternity if you'll put your faith in Him. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, listen, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. Miss Tricia didn't know what I was preaching on today, but couldn't have picked a better song. I am with thee, right? He said, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the trials of life, I am with thee. And I'm glad today to know that He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. You can take that to the bank, friend. If Jesus saved you, you're saved. For all eternity, God saves you and gives you eternal life. And it does not give us a license to go out and sin. It doesn't say that we can do what we want to do. It's saying that our lives are changed and God will hold us accountable. Amen. But it does say that He loves us with an everlasting love. In Matthew 28:20, He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I tell you today, somebody the other day, some lady, I don't know who she is, she's one of them politicians, and she was talking about when the end of the world was coming. I tell you today, there's nobody knows when the end of the world is coming, but I know one thing, it's coming. And I tell you, when it comes, you better be ready when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to take us home to be with Him. And today, the older you get, the more we older folks realize it's closer than it's ever been. God promises to you in these verses that nothing, again, I'm not going to belabor the point, but I want you to read verse 35 again when you get home. Nothing, He said, nothing can come between you and the love of Christ. The word separate in verse 35 is a strong word. It carries the idea of divorce or dividing asunder, separate, or here's a more, I guess, flagrant word, but it describes it. Amputation means separate, means to separate, amputate, to divide. Who is able to cut us out of Jesus and amputate us from His love? Nobody. Thank God today, no matter what happens in your life, nothing can divorce, nothing can divide, nothing can amputate our love of God because it's an enduring love. Love can throw us a lot of curveballs. Paul mentioned some of the trials we encounter. Again, he talks about tribulation, intense pressure. Boy, we have it every day. He talks about distress, extreme affliction. He talks about persecution to run after. Persecution refers to a systematically organized program to oppress and harass people or groups of people. Persecution speaks of pain, torture, even death inflicts on God's people because of their relationship with Him. But nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Famine or nakedness, being forced to live without the physical necessities of life. I tell you today, we have so much to be thankful for, especially in America. We've been blessed beyond measure. But friend, the day may come, the trials may come, the famine may come, the heartaches may come, But he said, my love can never be severed. The sword he speaks of a believer giving his or her life as a martyr for Christ. I'm so thankful to be able to pastor and to minister in this day and age. I tell you, I have all freedom. I've never had anybody threaten me, other than maybe if I was at their house, about preaching the Word of God. I can stand here today and freely tell you what the Bible says and invite you to come to Christ without persecution. But I realize there's men and women years ago that burned at the stake because they would not deny or they would not defy their God. You said, why would God allow that to happen? I don't know why God would allow it to happen, but I promise you, He loved them to the end, and He continues to love them and was with them through it all. And I tell you, when those people died, most of them died with such great dignity and honor. Oh, not that what they were given, but the fact of their relationship to Jesus Christ. So God's love is an enduring love. Friend, if He loves you, you know, I had a fellow one time told me about his wife. He said, I just don't love her anymore. That may happen. But I can tell you one thing, God's love will last forever and ever and ever and ever. In verse 37, God's love is an enabling love. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Having told all these matters in verse 37 of what can separate us from the love of Christ, teaches us that adverse condition of life served to prove His love for us. See, God proves His love in the midst of difficult times. Friend, you don't sense the need for God's love when things are going good. But you'll sense the need for good things. So you'll sense the need for God's love when things are going bad. Paul says that through hardships of life, we're more than conquerors. I tell you, there's so many of you here in the building today. You've gone through some trials, man. If we just sit down and start comparing. In fact, most of the time I find out before I start sharing my trials and afflictions, I listen to somebody else because theirs are way, way worse than mine ever was or ever might even be. And I thank God for the opportunity that I have to understand that no matter what, no matter how overwhelming, no matter how difficult it may be, and no matter what may come in my life to try to slap me down, I'm going to be a conqueror through Jesus Christ because He assures me of that. If the problems of life, such as mentioned in verse 35, can come between us and our living God, then there's a problem. If those things can sever the love of God from you, you might want to check up and be sure that you belong to Him. Because, friend, if you belong to Him, there's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. If a professing Christian can walk away from God and live in persistent sin, I have great doubts that they've never been saved or born again. Not to say that Christians don't sin. Not to say if you sin, you're not a Christian anymore. Because if that be the case, then the Bible wouldn't be telling the truth. Because He said nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But I'm grateful enough to know when I do sin, the Bible said God is willing to forgive me of my sin. And He'll draw me back to the fold and place me in the place that I need to be in order that I might have a proper relationship with Him. The true child of God is enabled to live for Him by the prevailing love of God. As I said, friends may forsake you, family may forsake you, those around you might forsake you, but friend, you can rest assured if you know the Savior today, His love can never be separated from you. When we're able to weather the storms of conflict, affliction, turmoil, and persecution, it's a good sign we're saved. When you desire to live for Jesus, even when life hurts, this is a good sign that you have a genuine faith in God. But when every little thing and issue blows you off course, you need to take a real serious look at your faith and ask God for sure to help you to know that you have truly been born again. For you see, the love of Christ is enabling. I can live today because Christ loves me. And boy, as simple as it may be, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Friend, that ought to resonate in our hearts and lives more than anything in all the world. And no matter what you're faced with tomorrow, no matter what difficulty you may run into, is to know, if God be for me, who can be against me? Because God is on my side. It's an enduring love. It's an enabling love. But I think we've covered a little bit, but we'll talk a little bit more. It's God's love is a everlasting love. Amen. For he said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He closes this chapter by speaking of his confidence in his personal security of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Around here, we believe the Bible teaches eternal salvation. God is not an Indian giver. He does not give you salvation and take it away. When I was born to my mom and dad, I became their child. And the responsibility of my rearing fell upon them. And my mom and dad did a good job raising me. You may not think so, but I think so. I didn't always do what I needed to do, but they raised me in church. They raised me around the things of God. But there was a day I rebelled, and I got a little crazy-headed, and I did some stupid things that I'm not proud of at all. But you know what? My mom and dad, they were dissatisfied with where I was. My mom and dad began to pray for me. My dad and the preacher used to come see me. You've heard me talk about it. They'd come see me, and my dad, they earnestly prayed for me. But you know what? My dad never one time said, you're no longer my son. You know why? Because even if he'd have said it, it wouldn't have been true. Because there's nothing that could change the fact that he and my mother bore me. And friend, when I got born into the family of God, I got saved by the grace of God. And I tell you, I got away from God. But I tell you, thank God I came back to the place I needed to be and got right with God. And I tell you, there's nothing that anybody can say, do, or think. You can look to the ends of the earth. But friend, God will not take back from me what he's given to me. And it's a salvation and a love. I don't have time to preach on this morning. There's other consequences if you don't come back, okay? I'm telling you, you are a child of God. Parents discipline their children when they do wrong. I wasn't living at home at the time, so that was a little bit difficult. But I tell you, you discipline your children, and God disciplines his children. But he does it in love. Thank God today, where I'm at, my mother and daddy, they knew tough love before they even started talking about tough love. But I tell you what, I learned tough love. But I tell you today, it was the greatest love that I've ever seen in my life, that my mom and dad never, never, ever, 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 ever gave up on me. They never stopped loving me. And today, even more so, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us today. And thank God today, I don't have a hope-so salvation. I've got a know-so salvation. I can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Praise God. I'm so glad today I committed my life to him and he saved me. Now look, I don't have time to go through all these things, but he said death. Listen, you don't need to fear death. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, nobody likes to think of death. Nobody wants to die. We love living here because we enjoy family, we enjoy friends, and we enjoy the benefits. But oh, if you ever get a glimpse of heaven, it's so much better than where we are now. And I tell you, death, you see, death ought not to be something we dread. It ought to be something. I told somebody the other day, I said, I believe Jesus is coming soon. And they said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:54, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few weeks ago, the last funeral I had was Billy Garbutt's dad. Billy Garbutt's dad passed away, passed into eternity, but he was a saved man. And when he passed from this life, he went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. But you know what? As bad as Billy and his family hated to give up dad, it wasn't really that bad because they thought of where he was. They thought of who he was with, and they thought of the fact that God took him home to be with him. Didn't have the sting of death. I tell you, sometimes when children get killed or when somebody dies prematurely, it makes it a little bit more difficult. But when you come to the end of your life and you've lived a good long life, you've been saved and God's kept you and loved you, listen, it's a celebration day of going home to be with Jesus. He said death can't separate you from the love of Christ. He's going to love you after you die. Life cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can happen in this world, by the way, that's not ordained of God. He said in John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. He said, death can't change it. Life can't change it. Angels can't change it. Jesus created the angels, but guess what? He controls them. We have nothing to fear from powerful good angels, nor anything to fear from the violent fallen angels. For Jesus said in Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent way than they. Friend, I'm glad I'm not an angel, because angels don't experience redemption. I tell you, I'm saved today by the blood of Jesus Christ. But he goes on and says, powers and principalities. Our rulers hold the power of our day. The President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world, at least in the United States. And yet today you said, well, I don't agree with everything, and I don't know anybody that would agree with everything that anybody did. But could I give you some good news? Whoever's there, whoever's in charge, they're controlled by God, and God allows and God does not allow. And many times what he allows might not be what we want, but it might be for our good. But God's the one that's in control. Friend, don't fret, don't fear. The Bible said in Proverbs 21:1, I love this. He said, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Just cheer up, friend. God's in control. He loves us, and he loves us with an everlasting love. Then he said, things present are things to come. The Lord said, I am. When Moses asked the Lord about his name, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you unto you. I'm glad today that I am sent me. The great I am, Exodus 3:14, Jesus Christ is sovereign over all things, past, present, and future. And we need not fear the present nor the future, because we can't do a thing about it. But there's one thing I know. There's nothing ever that will happen that will separate God's love for me. You said, preacher, I've been in some pretty, pretty low, dark places. Well, I have too. But I can tell you, in spite of it all, God still loved me then. God still loves me now. And God's going to still love me in the future. He said, things present, things come. He said, heights. Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. He ascended back into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Look what he said in Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had been offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Now that tells you right there, if you're saved, he don't have to keep off. If we lose our salvation, Jesus would have to keep going to the cross and dying. But my Bible tells me that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. And he controls everything between here and heaven. We need not fear what lies between us and the glory, because it cannot, will not, and is not going to separate us from the love of God. Heights. I'm glad of that. Of course, I don't worry too much about heights, because I'm not going to get too high if I can help it. I don't like heights, so maybe that. But here's the one, maybe depths. When Jesus died, listen to me. Jesus died a perfect man without sin. But listen what Ephesians 4:9-10 says. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth into the same also that ascendeth up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. We don't have to fear what lies beneath. He cannot separate us from the love of God if we're truly saved, because Jesus has already took our sin upon himself. Friend, that's a love that you'll never find anywhere else. But it's an enabling love, and it's an everlasting love. He said heights or death or any other creature. He's the creator of all things. He's the sovereign of it all. We need not fear what lies around us. Cannot separate us from the love of God. If you're saved, God loves you with an everlasting love. Never fear. Nothing can sever the bond of love that he has for you. I think back today, yes, humanly, you can stop loving somebody. And humanly, they can stop loving you. But friend, if you're a child of God, it's impossible. According to the Word of God, I'm not telling you what I said. I'm telling you what the Bible says. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. I hope today that you know, if nobody else loves you, Jesus does. I hope you rest in the fact, as Fanny Crosby put it, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. There's not a guarantee when we walk out of this building, and I pray it don't happen, but friend, we may never make it to our house. We may end up in eternity. But friend, I can tell you today, if you're saved, nothing to worry about. But I tell you, if you don't know today you're saved and on your way to heaven, I'd be very fearful. I'd be thinking I need to do something about it. For you see, you need to come to Him. You need to get that peace and assurance. I want to just say today that God's love is enduring, it's enabling, and it's everlasting to all who will come to Him. Friend, today, somebody, and I love songs, and you know that because I'm always referencing them. But there's a song that said, God loves me like God loves me like I'm His only child. And friend, today, thank God that He died for you. But this morning, I praise God that He died for this old sinner right here. And He loves me with a love that I could never, no matter how much I try, could not love Him like He loves me. But I do love Him today because He first loved me. And I tell you today, He'll give you what you need if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for the privilege and the opportunity to study Your Word today. Lord, we thank You for the love of God. Lord, thank You today that no matter where we're at, some may be sitting here and said, man, there's no way God can love me. Friend, if you've never been saved, He'll love you to Himself. He wants you to be saved. But if you're saved, you said, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what I've committed. You don't understand the direction I've